Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Let's turn to the word of the Lord, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. The key phrase for my message today is, he has made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You may be seated. The catbird seat. The catbird is a bird in Australia. And what the catbird does is, the male catbird builds his nest in the highest location he can find. And from that pinnacle, he can see his prey, he can see his enemy, and he can see his spouse-to-be. It's called the catbird seat because he sits up real high. The catbird seat phrase became popular in America in the 1950s because there was a man by the name of Red Barber. Red Barber was a great baseball announcer. And he picked that phrase up. And when the batter was standing there with three balls and no strikes, Red would say, the batter's in the catbird seat. Or if the pitcher had two strikes and no balls, he'd say, the pitcher is in the catbird seat. Catbird seat literally means, James Thurber wrote in 1940, in 42, I think it was, a short story about the catbird seat. It simply means a place of advantage, that you have risen to your potential. You are over all of your enemies. It's what the Bible said. God will promote you above your fellows. You know, we hear about Black Lives Matter, white privilege. All that's fine. I don't argue with nobody about nothing. But I'm going to tell you what, there's no position like being in Christ. When you're in Christ, you're in the catbird seat. You're in the catbird seat. There's a man by the name of Malcolm Forbes. He died in 1990. I don't know about you, but I read a lot of stuff about a lot of people. I learn tremendously by people that are victorious in their life, Christian or non-Christian, just things they do. But I learn more by people that fail. I watch people fail and say, why did that person fail? Even in the ministry, why did that person fail? And I've learned tremendously by that. And so I've kind of become a fan of Malcolm Forbes when I was a young man because he was extremely rich. He's worth about $500 million back then in the 70s and 80s. And his father had started a little magazine called Forbes Magazine. And Malcolm inherited that magazine, and it wasn't much, but under Malcolm, it flourished greatly, and it became a tremendous influential magazine among business people and wealthy people. And Malcolm became famous, and he became rich because of the magazine, but also because of his investment in real estate. He became extremely rich. He was an odd character, very intellectual, but really odd. But he said, money is not the answer. He said, the fun I can have from money is the answer. He loved to spend his money. Unlike most rich people, he spent it wildly, crazy, just on anything he wanted. He collected all kinds of things. Fabergé eggs, he had the biggest collection. The biggest air balloon collection, just crazy stuff. When he turned 70 years of age, Malcolm Forbes said, I am going to throw the biggest birthday party in the history of the world. And he did. He went to the Bahamas and rented all the facilities that he could there. He flew people from around the world. He brought in thousands of the most important people in the world. He flew them in by chartering jets and bringing them in at his own expense. And when the birthday party was over, Malcolm Forbes had spent $2.5 million in 1990 on his 70th birthday party. And he was greatly criticized when there was world hunger. And somebody asked him, I saw the interview personally at the time it happened. The newscaster said, Mr. Forbes, why did you spend $2.5 million on your birthday party? He said, because I'm 70 years of age. I don't know how much longer I'm going to live. And I don't know what's going to happen when I die. But he said, I wanted to make sure I had the best birthday party I could have because I'm afraid when I die, I'm not going to be in the catbird seat. In other words, he had no assurance for what was going to happen when he died. You know, most of the world is in that same predicament. You are a unique individual if you don't fear death and if you believe your next life is going to be better. And you have made the assurance of making Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. You are a phenomenal person. You're richer than movie stars. You're more powerful than politicians. You are amazing because you know not only are you blessed now, but you're going to be in the catbird seat when you die, which is very, very important. And so Mr. Forbes died just a few months later, and by his own admission, after having all that money, he died not being in the catbird seat. It's not the first time that happened. In the Bible, there's a story. It's known as Belshazzar's last party. He was the king of Babylon. Belshazzar was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. If you go back and you read the story of Nebuchadnezzar, here was a man that was an idolater, and God turned him over to his idolatries, and he lost his mind and actually went out and grazed and ate grass like an animal. And the Bible said the dew was on his back. He just lived out like an animal. But he came back to God and became a true convert of Jehovah God. But now we go to his grandson, Belshazzar. Belshazzar rejected the God of his grandfather, Jehovah, and became an idolater. He worshipped idols of gold and silver, and he was tremendously anti-Jehovah. And so he was a strong king in Babylon. But there was a man by the name of Cyrus the Great. Cyrus the Great was a tremendous figure in history. He was conquering cities and villages and even entire countries, and he would do it with small groups of armies, small armies, but he was powerful. So he had made his brags that he was going to conquer Babylon. But Belshazzar said that it will never happen because we got strong walls. The walls of Babylon were so wide that they had chariot races on top of the walls. They were like this freeway. When they get through with this freeway out here, counting the feeder roads, there's going to be 22 lanes in front of this church. The walls of Babylon were just that wide. They had chariot races. He had tremendous armies. The Euphrates River came in, and that was their water supply. They had enough food stored up for dozens of years. And so Belshazzar said, Cyrus can't conquer us. Nobody can penetrate our reserves. And so he threw a party for 1,000 of his lords, of the people that served him. It was a wild, wild party. They took the things that Nebuchadnezzar had in the temple of Jehovah God, the vessels, and they turned them into vessels of drink. It was a sexual orgy. It was a crazy, wild party. And he was mocking Jehovah. He was praising the gods that were idols. And all of a sudden, on the wall, there was a bodiless hand that began to write. Just the fingers began to write. And it wrote, many, many tekel upharsin. And when he saw that, he began to tremble because he knew it was a supernatural intervention. He just didn't know what it meant. And he appealed to all the wisest minds in Babylon, and nobody knew what it meant. And finally, the queen mother said, call for Daniel. He's an old man now, but he used to be the wisest man in the kingdom when your grandfather was in charge. Bring him in. And so he brought Daniel in, and he said, do you know what it says? And he said, yes, I know exactly what it says. It says, you've been weighed in the balance and you are found wanting. That's where we are in America today. We're throwing a party. This whole thing that we see is against the very principles of the Word of God. And the party is on, But I promise you, the fingers are about to write on the wall. We will not continue to mock God for long in this country. And if you're saved, you ought to get up every day praising God you're saved. Every day of your life. And then the Bible said that within just a few moments, his knees began to shake and he died. Belshazzar died. He thought that he was in the catbird seat, but he wasn't. Oh, the Bible continues with illustration after illustration. There's the story in the book of Luke. It's the story of a poor man, a beggar man by the name of Lazarus. And it's the story that history tells us the rich man's name was Dives. Dives lived in a mansion, and it's said this way, he fared sumptuously every day. But the beggar man was at the gate, and he just begged for food. He was just barely getting on. But the Bible said they both died. And it said, and when the rich man died, he went to hell. And he begged God that God would let Lazarus come to him with just one drop of water. But the Bible said it this way. It said, when Lazarus the beggar died, the angels came. You know, that's my goal in life, to have angels for pallbearers. You don't know how much God loves you. You know, the Bible said God has things prepared for you that has not even entered into your mind. Did you know you were going to have pallbearers at your funeral? Or you might have physical pallbearers, but spiritually, the angels are going to transport you into the presence of the living God. And so Dives, the rich man, died. He was exactly like Malcolm Forbes. He wasn't in the catbird seat. But Lazarus, the little beggar man, died. And he was. Friend, do you have any idea the dividends it pays to serve God? Every day of my life when I get up, I'm promised daily bread. He's going to take care of my daily. And he says, don't even worry about tomorrow. I'll take care of that too. Just live in now. Live in today. I'm going to take care of you. And I promise you, folks, every day of my life, Jesus Christ takes care of me. What are you saying, Pastor Steve? I'm saying I'm in the catbird seat. I see stuff on the news that's just horrible, but it doesn't affect me. I'm in the bubble that I preached about the other day. I'm literally sitting in the catbird seat. I move from where? The Bible said from victory to victory, from blessing to blessing. Even in the church, I hear a lot of negativity. People talking about the trials we must go through. Folks, I'm 73 years of age and been living for the Lord since I was 10. And I hear new converts talking about the trials we have to go through. Folks, I've been living for Jesus for 63 years, and the trials they're talking about, I've never even seen them. But they say you got to go through them. Somehow I missed them because God has elevated me to the catbird seat. And I just want to take time to, that's the reason why we have a kind of church we have. You know, you go to some churches and they're sad and they're mournful and they're quiet. But when you come here, we want it to be a Spurs game without the basketball. We want you to shout and rejoice. Because all Becky and I are doing is trying to teach you how to move up in the catbird seat, where you can get all the blessings the Lord has for you. Because he is a good God. He's a rich God. He's not a selfish God. He's a sharing God. He is a God that is benevolent. He is a father. He calls himself Father. Is there anything greater than what a father will do for his sons? I will do anything for my sons. I saw when I was a young man, had no kids, I saw fathers doing things for sons. And I saw, I'd never do that. But when I got sons, it was different. It's just there. I just wish I could get some of the stuff back I've given my sons. I gave my sons two expensive watches, probably 15 years ago. I mean, expensive watches. I haven't seen them since. They've never worn them one time. They're not in style. I got bad news for you. Rolexes are not in style. Plastic watches are in style. Handmade boots that I'm wearing are not in style. Tennis shoes are in style. I said, Daddy, this is before he died. I said, Daddy, the cowboys today are wearing tennis shoes and caps. They're not wearing cowboy hats and cowboy boots. He said, they got rags on their heads and rags on their feet. They're not real cowboys. It's a different day. And so I gave them those watches. And I haven't seen them for 15 years. I collect those kind of watches. I said the other day, boys, where's your watches? Oh, we got them. I said, could I see them? They said, no. I said, could I have them back? They said, no. I said, I'll buy them back. They said, they're not for sale. I don't even know where they got them now. They might have pawned those things years ago. I don't know. But when you're a father, you just give. Let me tell you about God. Above all, his number one thing is he is the Father. And he is your Father. And his number one goal is not just when you die. He wants to put you in the catbird seat today. He wants to bless you in so many ways that your mother-in-law will shake her head and say, I don't know how that boy does it. Oh, God wants to bless you coming in and going out. He is a God of blessing. And I live in his blessing every day. And I praise God for that. Oh, friend, the benefits of the catbird seat are innumerable. You cannot even talk about how many, though. Blessed assurance, that's an old song, but it's a prevalent experience. Blessed assurance. I've got the assurance, praise God. Hallelujah, that God is my God and I am his son. He gives me in the catbird seat peace that passes understanding. He gives me daily bread. He gives me someone to fight my battles. He puts deity on my side. Oh, if it were not for the Lord on my side. But he is. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. He puts me in the Father's hand and no man can pluck me out. When the flood comes, he raises a standard against it. I'm in the catbird seat. He is my fourth man in every fiery furnace I've ever been in. He is my lion tamer every time I met the roaring lion seeking to devour me. And he is my storm calmer when I walk in the storm. Oh, praise God. And he has promised me that to he that overcome will I grant to sit with me in my throne. That's my promise to come. But my promise today is my text. We are made to sit together in heavenly places. I live in heavenly places. He's a good God all the time. And it doesn't matter what weapon is formed against me, it's going to fail. It doesn't matter how good the scientist was that designed the weapon, it's going to fail. It doesn't matter how old it was, it's going to fail. It doesn't matter what new technology involves, it's going to fail. Because praise God, I'm in the catbird seat, and the good news is there's nothing anybody can do about it. My enemies can't take me out. My friends can't persuade me out. The devil can't drag me out. I'm just there, and God has put me there, and there's nothing I can do about it. But I'm like the turtle on the post, the farmer saw. Said, I don't know how that turtle got on top of that fence post, but he didn't get there by himself. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm in the catbird seat, but I didn't get here by myself. The Bible said salvation is of God. It's the gift of God that no man should boast. It is a gift straight from God. You're not saved because you pay $100 a week tithe. You're not saved because you're modest in your dress. You're not saved because you don't miss a service. You're not saved because you've won 100 souls to Jesus Christ. You're saved because God so loved the world. He said, I'm going to put them in the catbird seat. And it doesn't matter what anybody says about it. There they are. Michael Bloomberg, the former mayor of New York, is about the 17th richest guy in the world. He has billions and billions of dollars. I saw him interviewed a while back, and he's a big anti-gun advocate, and he's given tremendous sums of money to found the anti-gun movement in America. In an interview, this is exactly what he said. Mr. Bloomberg said in his interview, he's a Catholic, "I'm telling you there is God. And when I get to heaven, I'm not stopping to be interviewed. I'm headed straight in. I've earned my place, and it's not even close. I have given over $100 million to the anti-God lobby." Mr. Bloomberg thinks that you can buy your way to heaven. But ladies and gentlemen, there's not enough money in the world to buy your place. It was a gift from Almighty God. God saw you when you were a long way off, but the long arm of God reached down and found you. And somehow it wasn't your cousin and it wasn't your friend from the hood. It was just you. He knew you by name, called you by name, brought you into his kingdom with angels complaining that you weren't worthy and devils threatening to take you to hell. But God said, "I'm going to put them in the palm of my hand, and there's not a thing you can do about it. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the church says. I don't care what my enemies say. I don't care what my friends say. I'm just in the catbird seat, and there ain't one thing you can do about it." Hallelujah. I was in Los Angeles, California, when a man looked at a woman when he had commanded her to receive the Holy Spirit, and everything he would tell her to do, she'd do the opposite. And finally, he got frustrated and said, "This woman will never be baptized in the Holy Spirit." What he didn't know was she couldn't speak a word of English. She wasn't being rebellious. She didn't know what he was saying. And he said, "She'll never receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit." And when he said that, all of a sudden heaven came down and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. I've got good news for you. The Pope in Rome can't keep you out of heaven. The preacher across San Antonio, the preacher preaching you right now, can't stop you. If you make up your mind that Jesus Christ is going to be your Lord and your Savior, hell has no claim on you, and you are predestined to go to a heaven that is filled with angels. I want everybody in this building to shout with me right now, "I am in the catbird seat, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. I've been blessed yesterday, I'm blessed today, and I'm going to be blessed tomorrow, and Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior." Would you give God a big praise? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Religion's a terrible thing. It robs you of joy. It strips you of confidence. I was called in Shreveport, Louisiana years ago to a man's bedside. His wife or his daughter was one of my converts. She said, "Daddy wants to see you. He's dying in the hospital here in Shreveport." I went there in his last day on earth. He said, "Pastor, I've been a deacon for over 40 years in my church. And I'm dying, and I'm afraid. I've been a deacon for 40 years. I'm dying. I'm afraid because I don't know Jesus. 40 years a deacon, and I don't know Jesus." Folks, it's not about religion. It's about Jesus Christ. Understanding his love for you. So love that he vacated heaven. Came to an earth he created to be mocked and scorned and die on the cross. Could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't. And when he put him on that tree, he could have come down at any moment and smote his captors. But it wasn't three nails that held him to the cross. It was your face, your name, and his love for you. He said, "I created her. I created him in my image. I have so loved them. I will die in their place because from this moment forward, I want to bless them with every blessing." Oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. But my enemy is my My flesh is my enemy because I'm not as blessed as God wants me to be, because I am the apple of his eye. He wants to just shroud me with blessing. He wants all good. He said, I won't withhold any good thing from you. Pastor called me to get a sermon yesterday. I said, what do you want to preach? He said, I want to preach about the favor of God. I said, oh, when you talk about the favor of God, the biggest thing about the favor of God is that we are his children. We are his children. And just because we are his children, he wants to give us favor. But the book of Galatians said, as long as you're a servant, as long as you're a child, you differ nothing from a servant. What does that mean? That means you can't buy your 10-year-old son a car and give him the keys. When he's 16, you can, and you won't love him any more at 16 than you did at 10, but you couldn't give him the car at 10. There's some people in this house that God is poised. His hands are full of blessing. He wants to get, but you're still 10 years old. If you would just get to the age limit, if you would quit being a child and start being a son, he would pour out upon you a blessing that you are not able to contain. Above everything in life, God wants to put you in the catbird seat where you will be elevated above everything. It's the reason why he conquered all of our enemies, death, hell, and the grave. God wants to do that for you. But the more we mature, the more blessing we receive. And folks, I've been so blessed, but I still believe there's bigger things. And I've outgrown a lot of things that I used to want. I used to want ranches. I've had 40-some ranches in my life, bought and sold them. I remember sitting on a quarter horse and looking at 103 registered Beefmaster cows. Just the cows, ready to calve. I'd wanted that so bad. But when I sat on that horse and looked at it, I said, this ain't it. I thought it was. I remember wanting certain kind of cars. Got those cars. I said, this ain't it. I've just been so blessed with material things. But I've kind of outgrown a lot of those, Sister Gloria, because they just didn't do for me in here what I thought they would do. And so now, God, this is my plea. You've put me in the catbird seat, but God, I'm asking you for this. Give me an anointing that I've never had to reach more people for Christ than I ever have. Because everybody ought to know the Jesus I know. Because he's not ugly, he's not mean, he's not vengeful, he does not hold grudges. He's just a good God all the time. And most of the world does not know him. And so, God, I'm asking you for the time I've got left on this earth, anoint me. Somehow, God, figure out a way to bless me to where I could reach more and more people with the story of Jesus Christ and how much he loves us. Would you stand with me right now? I've been in some terrible places in life, not myself, but with other people. I've been at the car wreck with people looking up at me and recognizing who I was and saying, preacher, I'm dying and I'm not saved. Can you pray with me now? That's no way to die. That's no way to die. If you will live like God wants you to live, your death will not be sorrowful. It'll be like the man in the Bible. He leaned upon his staff, died, and blessed his grandsons. That's how God wants it to be. It's not supposed to be. Somebody said, well, you got to go through some pain and suffering. No, no, no. Jesus took the pain and suffering. I'm free. Amen. I'm free. Amen. I'm not buying my way to heaven by my suffering. My way has been paid by Jesus Christ, and so I love him. If you're in this building today and your life is not happy and complete, and when you lay your head on your pillow at night, you're not assured that you're going to go to heaven. If problems are just something that just happened and you just can't get a break in life, I invite you to walk down this aisle and stand here before Jesus.